Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Blissfully Blindsided by Robin Alexander, narrated by Lori Prince. Chapter 1.
I can do this, Kaylee Bro said angrily as she looked at her tidy little package of tools that had never been used and the jack she had no idea how to operate. She could have easily called her grandfather for help, but at 37 years old, she thought she should be able to change a tire on her own. There was also the fact she'd spent much of her two-day cross-country trip on the phone with her grandparents, trying to assure them she was more than capable of making the journey alone. Nevertheless, they would check on her nearly every hour, put the call on speaker, and to Kaylee's annoyance, refer to her as the baby.
That baby shit has got to go, Kaylee groused as she wiped sweat from her brow. I've been grown for a long time, and I don't know why they refuse to accept that.
Actually, Kaylee did know. At 5'2" tall with a head full of blonde curls, she didn't look very different than she did when she was in her teens. She'd inherited her mother's youthful genes and was sometimes still asked for her ID when she ordered a drink. She was sure she'd appreciate that when she got older, but it drove her crazy that her looks made her family still see her as a child. Sensibility told Kaylee to call for help, but her pride and determination to prove she was not the baby wouldn't allow common sense to prevail. It was September, but still very hot and humid in South Louisiana. The heat added to her annoyance and made it hard for her to remain calm and concentrate. Her anger rose as she tried to read her car manual, and sweat dripped off her face onto the pages in the waning light. Kaylee took a wrench from the tool packet and began loosening the lug nuts on the rear passenger side tire. She felt pretty confident when that task was complete, but placing the jack beneath the frame of the car proved difficult. She had no idea what part was actually considered the frame. She lay her head in the dirt and studied the undercarriage of her car, wondering what damage she would cause if she placed the jack incorrectly. Need help? Startled, Kaylee jumped to her feet and blurted out all the thoughts that crossed her mind.
I didn't hear a car. You're on a bike. Why on earth would you ride a bike out here?
Exercise, the woman said as she set the kickstand and glanced at the license plate on Kaylee's car as she got off her bike. How did someone from Nebraska find Old Dump Road? I don't think it's on any GPS.
I'm not originally from Nebraska. I grew up in Baton Rouge. My grandparents live in Falcon, and that's how I know this road is a shortcut.
It's not much of a road anymore, just a mass of potholes. You're lucky you only have a flat tire. My name is Blaise Saunier. Who are your grandparents?
Dean and Edie Bro. Kaylee put out her hand. I'm Kaylee Bro.
She noticed how Blaise's eyes narrowed slightly when she'd mentioned her grandparents' names. Blaise smiled and shook Kaylee's hand. Nice to meet you. I can help with the tire and have you back on the road pretty quickly.
Do I look like I don't know what I'm doing?
Kaylee held up a hand when she noticed Blaze's brow rise.
That wasn't sarcasm, it was an honest question.
Blaze noted the dirt on Kaylee's cheek and in her hair that had escaped her ponytail. You look like you're handling it, but it would be wrong just to ride on past you and not offer help.
I really don't know what I'm doing, and I'm embarrassed, Kaylee admitted with a sigh. I have no idea where to put the jack.
Under the car? That was playful sarcasm, which wasn't a good move, judging by the look on your face. Blaze smiled. What have you done so far?
I loosened the lug nuts. Blaze knelt by the flat tire.
You got the first part down, so that's good.
She hooked the crank handle to the jack and slid it beneath the car. Kaylee joined Blaze on the ground and studied the placement.
Okay, so that's the frame. Yep, and I'm gonna turn this handle until the tire clears the ground. I had a flat recently, so I've had a refresher course on how to do this.
Great.
Kaylee watched as Blaze pulled a hairband from the pocket of her jeans, swept her long bangs from her face, and twisted the band around them.
The setting sun brought out the hues in her dark red shoulder-length hair. Kaylee smiled when Blaze glanced up at her with a pair of pretty blue eyes. She watched the muscles in Blaze's arms as she turned the jack handle and noticed she was wearing work boots, a short-sleeved denim shirt, and jeans. "So is this your normal exercise attire?" Blaze glanced at Kaylee again.
"I would have worn something comfortable, but I made a spur-of-the-moment decision brought on by a stressful environment I wanted to escape for a while."
"What?" Kaylee asked slowly and cocked her head like a confused pup.
"I just needed to burn off some frustration."
"I totally get that. Blaze is an interesting name."
"Unless it's yours," Blaze said as she removed the lug nuts. "I suppose Blaze is what came to mind when I was born because I had bright red hair. I hated it when I was little because other kids thought my name was weird."
She pulled the tire off the posts.
"Okay, we're ready for the spare. Will you open your trunk?"
"Oh," Kaylee said with a blank expression.
"You don't have a spare?"
Kaylee grimaced. "Okay, I'm in the process of moving to Falcon."
"Ah." Blaze stood and brushed off her hands. "The tire is buried under a bunch of luggage, isn't it?"
"Kinda," Kaylee said as she hurried to the driver's side of the car and pushed the trunk release. Blaze walked to the back of the car and tried to keep her expression neutral as Kaylee opened the trunk and revealed what looked like hundreds of boxes.
"Wow, so you're really into shoes."
"I know that you're thinking I'm that woman, the prissy one who can't change her own tire and has a ton of clothes and shoes, and her highest priority is getting her nails done. I swear I'm not, even though the evidence points to the contrary," Kaylee said as she gathered boxes. "My former job required me to travel constantly, and I didn't have a real home. It made no sense to buy things to decorate an apartment I rarely saw. So I compensated by buying things I did use, and that was clothes and shoes. The moving van that had my few furnishings left before I realized I forgot to pack my shoe closet."
"You had a whole closet dedicated to shoes?" Blaze asked as she grabbed boxes too.
"I've had the same job since I graduated college, and I'm almost 40. That was a lot of years of collecting shoes, so yes. When I get into my new place, I'll sort through them, then donate most to a women's shelter." Kaylee dropped an armload of boxes onto the road. "I am that woman. Oh my God, I am. I can't change a tire. I have a ton of shoes. I don't know how to work in an office, and this is proof." Blaze's jaw sagged slightly as she tried to make sense of what she was hearing.
"People wear shoes in an office," she said numbly.
"But I wore mine on the road." Kaylee snatched a shoebox out of the trunk and spiked it on the ground like a football. She waved her hands around wildly and stared at the sky. "Is this a sign? Is the universe trying to tell me through a flat tire that I should have stayed in my old job where I knew what I was doing?" Breathing heavily, she met Blaze's startled gaze. "I can't even change my own tire, so how am I going to run a whole human resources department?" Blaze looked at the shoes and boxes scattered around Kaylee's feet, thinking they'd be there for hours if Kaylee continued to have an emotional crisis.
"How long have you been driving?"
"Since I got my learner's permit at 15 years old," Kaylee replied, looking confused.
"I mean today."
"Oh, shit," Kaylee thought for a moment. "Don't judge, I'm gonna have to use my fingers to count."
"Don't bother. When was the last time you ate?"
"I get sleepy after I eat, so I just had nuts and a lot of energy drinks." Kaylee waved both hands. "I'm sure that's why I'm half crazed, but I've had 2 days of driving to think, and I'm stressed. It's just everything my old boss told me is true. I thought he was saying those things because he didn't want me to resign. I stayed on the road all the time for MVP pharmacies. If there was a problem at a store, I solved it. If I was in New York and Jim needed me in Seattle, I was there the next day taking care of human resources issues." Kaylee held up a finger. "Here's the deal, though. I solved the problem, and I was gone. I've never managed a department full of people on a daily basis. I don't know what made me think I could do that. I don't know why Falcon Shipyard hired me, other than the fact I interviewed really well and my hair looked great during the video conference.
You're tired and hungry, and that makes everything seem worse than it is,
Blaze said as the last bit of daylight quickly faded. She started grabbing boxes and setting them on the road.
I'll go from buttercup to bear in a heartbeat when I'm hungry. Most people feel hunger coming on gradually, but not me. I'm fine 1 minute and starving the next, and people start waving bananas in my face. After you eat and sleep, you're gonna be like, I've got this, it's no big deal. You'll see.
Kaylee sounded as though she was talking to herself when she said, I didn't make a rash decision. I thought about leaving MVP for a long time. I was so sick of living like a nomad. I didn't really have any friends outside of work, and I couldn't have a relationship. She sighed as she grabbed an armload of boxes. I can make this work. I do have management skills, and I am intelligent, even though I don't know what a car frame looks like.
Right.
Blaze scooted the remaining boxes from around the spare tire compartment and opened it.
You're gonna be just fine. You'll realize that tomorrow morning.
She lifted the tire out and took it around to the side of the car. Kaylee pulled her phone from her pocket and used the flashlight on it to illuminate the area where Blaze was working. So you put the tire on and the nuts.
Right. See, you would have gotten this. I'll tighten everything up once I let the jack down.
I think I would have gotten it eventually. Kaylee blew out a breath. Can you imagine how embarrassing it is to lose your mind in front of a total stranger?
Trust me, when I say it would be worse if you were in front of a group of people armed with cell phones, videoing your worst moment that goes viral when it hits the web.
Blaze hand tightened the last lug nut and cranked the jack handle.
Fortunately for you, it's just me out here. And I forgot my phone at home.
Blaze, I owe you big time.
No, you don't. Helping with the tire made me forget about all the crap I've been dealing with, so you did me a favor, too. We're even. The jack is out now, and this is the part where you use the wrench to really tighten the nuts.
Blaze grunted as she turned the wrench.
Don't ride on this little donut spare for very long. It'll be good to get you into town, but they're not made for a lot of mileage.
I'll get it fixed tomorrow. Kaylee watched Blaze for a moment and said, You looked as though you knew my grandparents when I mentioned them.
I know who they are, Blaze said. Falcon is a small town. You'll get to know just about everybody pretty quickly because most everyone works at the shipyard, or they're related to someone who does.
I know about Falcon. I spent a lot of time with Gramp and Graham when I was little, Kaylee said with a faint smile. I'm looking forward to being close to them again and living somewhere quaint and quiet. Blaze tightened the last bolt and put the toolkit back together.
I assume the jack was under one of the seats.
It was, but I'm gonna throw all that into the trunk and sort it later. It's hot and it's dark. Hey, I could put your bike in my back seat and give you a ride to town.
Thank you, but I'm gonna visit a friend who doesn't live far from here,
Blaze said as she carried the jack and toolkit to the back of the car. She set them down, then hoisted the flat tire into the trunk. I should have helped you with that, but I'm just standing here like a moron. I'm definitely not myself tonight.
One of us has to hold the light,
Blaze said as she set the jack and tools into the trunk, then began picking up the shoeboxes.
That tire takes up more space than the little donut spares, so your trunk isn't going to be as neat as it was before.
Kaylee laughed. That's one thing I'm not sweating. She started grabbing boxes and throwing them into the trunk. When the trunk lid miraculously closed over the mound of boxes and shoes, Blaze said,
It was nice meeting you, Kaylee. I'm sure you'll do fine at your new job.
I have to hug you. Is that okay?
Blaze shrugged with a smile. Sure.
I can't thank you enough. Kaylee wrapped her arms around Blaze and gave her a squeeze. I don't care what you say. I still owe you. Let me take you out to eat sometime.
Shop at my store. That'll be payback,
Blaze said when Kaylee released her.
It's in the center of town, and it's called the Old Store, but most everybody calls it the Store.
I know that place, Kaylee exclaimed. Gramp used to take me there when I was little. It was so cool. There were groceries on one aisle and hardware on another.
Blaze laughed as she got onto her bike.
It's not that way anymore. It's mainly hardware and household items now.
I really don't want you to ride your bike on this dark road.
I'm not going to. There's a trail just up ahead that'll take me through the woods to Carrie's place. Good night,
Blaze said as she rode off.
Be careful,
Kaylee called after Blaze as she watched her disappear into the darkness. She got into her car and started it. When her headlights lit up the road, Blaze was nowhere in sight. You are either brave or crazy or both. There's no way I'd ride a bike out here after dark.
You crazy ass,
Carrie Dunn yelled as Blaze rode up to the porch where she sat.
I almost went in and got my shotgun when I caught sight of something out there moving around in the darkness. I thought you were a coyote. What are you doing on that bike this time of night?
It was daylight when I left the house, but I helped a woman on Old Dump Road who had a flat tire.
Blaze got off her bike and limped up the steps of Carrie's porch.
Why do you look like you've been riding a horse nonstop for 24 hours?
I just learned it's a bad idea to take a long bike ride while wearing jeans on a hot night. I've never chafed this bad before. My butt cheeks and the insides of my thighs are on fire,
Blaze said as she unzipped her pants.
You're not about to take off. Oh, shit, you are.
Carrie looked away as Blaze yanked her jeans down her thighs.
Don't worry, my shirt is long. You won't see anything. Did smoke come out when I pulled my pants down? Seriously, I think I'm on fire.
I'm not looking.
Carrie stood up, keeping her gaze averted.
I'm gonna go get you a pair of shorts and something for your fire.
Thank you,
Blaze said with a groan. Carrie went inside her house, found a pair of shorts, and grabbed a jar of balm. She quickened her pace when she heard a yelp. When she returned to the porch, Blaze's boots, pants, and underwear lay in a pile, and there was a puddle at Blaze's feet.
Did you pee out here?
She asked, aghast, and looked away. Blaze's voice sounded strained when she said,
I got a bottle of water out of your cooler and doused myself. I'm glad I wasn't here to witness that.
Carrie handed Blaze the shorts and balm.
Go on inside and pull all of this stuff on.
Blaze looked at the jar Carrie handed her.
This is for horses.
Yep, but it makes them happy when I put it on their bug bites.
Blaze set the balm aside and pulled on the shorts.
Thank you so much.
It's the least I can do since you suffered to come out and see me. Just a reminder, you do have a car.
Carrie grinned as she reclaimed her seat.
I know you won't admit it, but you're gonna miss me when I go on the road with TJ in a few weeks. That's why you're here.
Wrong. I don't see you enough to miss your hermit ass,
Blaze said with a smile and leaned against a porch post instead of sitting down.
I've got my fingers crossed you'll hate riding around in TJ's big rig, so you won't retire from the shipyard and hit the road with her.
Carrie shook her head.
That'll never happen. She's been trucking since we met, and we don't know how to spend a lot of time together. After this trip, I might be divorced. The last time we did this, we argued for 300 miles.
She took a sip of her beer and sighed.
What's going on in your life?
Chantal's here again.
Ah, shit. Did she roll into town in a new luxury car driven by some guy younger than you?
Carrie asked with a scowl.
She came alone a few days ago in a limo. She decided to drive a motorcycle for the first time at 70-something years old. Obviously, it didn't go well. Chantal has a broken ankle, a hairline fracture in her arm, and a cracked rib. She claims she's down to her last dime with no place to go.
Carrie gawked at Blaze.
Are you about to tell me she's staying at your house?
That's exactly what I'm telling you.
Blaze, damn it! How could you do that after what that woman's done to you and Ronnie?
She's banged up and in a wheelchair.
Blaze sighed.
And she's my mother.
No, she ain't. She might have given birth to you, but she's never been a mother by any stretch of the imagination.
Carrie slapped the arm of her rocking chair.
I can't believe she's got the nerve to show up at your place when she's down and out. I hope you at least nod her ass. Blaze shook her head as she leaned against a porch post.
I can't.
I've never understood that about you or your sister. All the time she came back here, you and Ronnie never asked how she could walk out on y'all when you were nothing more than babies. Y'all just listen to her brag about her life and her acting career and wave when she rolls back out of town.
We don't ask her anything because we don't want her to think we care. And we don't. We've lived our lives without her. We view her as a distant relative who we're morbidly curious about because she lives in a world completely different from ours. Besides, we know why she left. She was more interested in being an actress than being our mother.
Blaze stared out into the darkness.
I know it was stupid to let her stay, but I couldn't turn her away all busted up and broke.
Do you think you're showing her you're a better person than she is?
Carrie wagged a finger at Blaze.
She won't get that. People like her see kindness as a weakness to exploit, and that's exactly what she's doing to you. If you can't pitch her out, you need to tell her you know exactly what she's doing.
Where's your daddy? What's he say about this?
He went to stay with his buddy Richard when he found out she was staying with me. He told Ronnie he's not coming back to town until Chantal leaves.
That was a shitty thing for him to do.
He needs to be here supporting his kids, not running off like a coward.
I ain't your mama, but I want to go over there and put that woman in her place right quick since you won't do it.
I don't understand you. You can open that mouth of yours and tell off anybody in this town, and they all think you're a crazy asshole.
Carrie took a drink of her beer and sighed.
If it gets out that you took in your mama after what she's done to you and Ronnie, your rep is gonna be ruined. People are gonna find out you're too nice for your own good. Most people aren't like that when they've had a shitty childhood.
That's not true. I was thinking about that today. Grandma, Grandpa, and Dad gave me and Ronnie everything we needed.
Blaze smiled wistfully.
I actually had a happy childhood.
Until you were in high school and some kid dug up that old movie Writhe and Scream with Chantal's famous nude scene in it.
Okay, yeah, that was a rough time.
And it was called Crash and Burn, you ass,
Blaze said with a laugh.
My title is more appropriate. That's what she was doing on top of that ugly-ass guy. He was so gross with his 70s porno mustache and teeth bigger than the ones on my horse. Chantal has to be a good actress because she made me believe she was really into what she was doing. She had to be imagining that guy with someone else or with a bag over his head.
Carrie took another drink of her beer.
He was only less disturbing than the fact you look a whole hell of a lot like your mama did then. It was like watching you don't finish that sentence.
Blaze said with disgust.
You told me you never saw that movie. I hadn't when I told you that. After you poured out your heart about how that movie wrecked your high school years, I got curious. One weekend when TJ was home, we kind of binged on everything your mama made. Damn smart TVs and the internet. I tried to stop after watching Chantal's two movies, but TJ had to go and find her soap opera. I hate those damn things, but I couldn't look away. I'm ashamed to admit I have seen every episode of Love's Law. I was amazed at how many times they killed Chantal's character and she came back. The time they hit her with the bus, I thought, this is it. Old Evelyn Cleary ain't gonna survive this. But there she was the very next episode in a body cast. Evelyn was just too mean to die.
Carrie chuckled.
I really kind of liked her. You ever binged on No? I saw one episode of Love's Law and the scene in that movie where the boobs I inherited bounced around and that was enough.
They didn't bounce. Those things were so firm they hardly moved at all.
Carrie gazed at Blaze with unfocused eyes as though she was seeing the scene in her mind.
Perfectly shaped, peach-colored areolas and nipples on creamy mounds of really?
Blaze yelled and broke Carrie out of her trance.
I'm sorry, but congratulations on inheriting that, those peaches.
Carrie took a long drink from her beer when she noticed Blaze's scowl.
You know, one thing you might want to consider is, when Chantal was playing Evelyn Cleary on Love's Law, she was always banged up. Those injuries she says she has now could be just as fake as those in that show. She may be able to fake an orgasm in a movie, but she can't fake an ankle full of plates and screws.
Chapter 2 Edie and Dean Bro stared out their kitchen window at the house across the street that Kaylee had rented.
Why doesn't she want us to help her unpack?
Dean asked.
She's independent, like my side of the family, Edie said proudly.
Dean smiled.
She could have moved anywhere, but she decided to settle close to us. Out of all our grandkids, Kaylee has always loved us the most. That's why she's our favorite.
You're not supposed to admit that.
We're alone in our kitchen. We can admit anything we want,
Dean said defiantly.
We could have sex on our table if we didn't care about dislocating something. And I don't mean a table leg.
How's your hip?
Edie asked with her gaze glued on the house Kaylee had rented.
It's fine. You just gotta remember I don't bend like I used to.
Dean clamped his lips together for a moment.
Honey, do you think Kaylee really is gay?
The question caused Edie to turn and look at Dean.
We've known that since she was a teen. Why are you questioning it now?
It's just, she ain't anything like Carrie. Kaylee has hair and she wears women's clothes. Carrie and I use the same barber. We wear the same kind of work boots. She works harder than any man at the shipyard. And that's saying something because she ain't a spring chicken. I'm not saying Kaylee ain't strong, but I've never seen her pick up a 40-pound piece of steel pipe and throw it.
Carrie is what they call butch, Edie explained. She naturally feels more comfortable wearing a crew cut and men's clothes. Kaylee is comfortable dressing kind of sporty and girly. That doesn't make her any less of a lesbian than Carrie.
Uh-huh. And how do you know about all that?
I traveled extensively, and therefore I'm more worldly, Edie replied with a smug smile.
Honey, you've traveled from Louisiana to Arkansas and Texas. That ain't extensive. Tell me where you're getting all this gay knowledge from.
She's right under your nose every workday. I guess the only thing you and Carrie ever talk about is fishing and whatever you're working on.
Edie walked over to the stove to check on dinner.
I've been through a shitload of classes that taught me I'm not supposed to talk to her about anything sexual or personal.
Well, we do need to talk to her about Kaylee.
Edie wagged a finger.
Nothing makes you put down a root in a place like love. We have to find a nice lady for Kaylee to fall in love with, so she'll stay here.
You want to fix the baby up with Carrie?
Dean asked with a frown.
Of course not, honey. There's a 23-year age difference between them, and that's a little steep,
Edie said with a laugh.
Carrie will be able to tell us which women in town are lesbians. We'll pick a good one and wave her in Kaylee's face like a carrot in front of a plow pony. Now be quiet. I just saw the baby pass the window.
A few seconds later, Kaylee walked in the back door and exclaimed, My coffee maker was broken during the move. I'm gonna die.
We have coffee here. You want me to make you some?
Dean asked.
That's right, Edie agreed. We have coffee, food, laundry detergent, anything you need. There's no reason to even bother with getting another coffee pot.
Kaylee smiled. We talked about this. I'll come over often, but I want to make my own nest. Where does a person in this town find a decent coffee maker?
At the old store, Dean said. I'll run you over there after dinner.
No, not there, Edie interjected. Their stuff, it's just too expensive and not good.
Dean made a face.
Half the stuff in this house came from there.
Kaylee didn't mention she'd gotten a flat tire when she arrived the night before. She wasn't about to admit she'd had a road hazard she couldn't handle, so she didn't mention meeting Blaze and hearing about the changes at the store.
I love that place, with its old wooden floors and things that didn't go together on the shelves, like bread and plumbing supplies. Do they still sell chicks and bunnies at Easter? Oh, no bunnies. Don't ever mention bunnies within a mile of Blaze Saunier.
Edie wagged a finger.
She-
Now don't bring that up,
Dean said with a grimace.
Kaylee needs to know for her own safety.
Edie argued. I personally saw Blaze chase Paul Tibby out of the store with a broom when he asked her if she had any Easter decorations. Kaylee looked back and forth at Edie and Dean. Does she have a bunny phobia, or is she an...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?